Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 821 for the week of August 1st, 2026. I'm Chris Privateer, bringing you this week's show. I don't currently have a cat with me. It is raining outside, though, so I get the lovely rainy ambience noise that you like have to pay money for on YouTube to hear without ads, right? But I get it for free from my window. Cool. Having an atmosphere is cool. Get where I was going with that. Hi, Kelly Ryan's here. Hi.
I'm missing the official Ryan meetup at the Mall of America right now.
I don't
now.
Think you're included, Kelly. That's your last name, not your first name.
I know, but I should be honorary.
You want to be Ryan? You want inclusivity of Ryan's?
Yes.
Sorry.
I've actually always wanted to go to the Mall of America.
I've been there once. It's big. It's a mall. I don't know if it's any worse now. It's been like a decade, so a lot of malls have died. I wonder how that one's doing.
I don't know.
I get that it's still a thing, you know, but like, how full is it? How many empty stalls are there? Are they maintaining it? Are people keeping the storefronts going, you know, out of a good faith effort of having a good place for everyone to meet? And like, this is the only place we would ever have a store, so we're going to do it here, even if it makes no sense, or it's just stupid.
How many Sunglass Huts are there?
I hope only one. And only because, you know, you have to have one.
It's not a mall.
That one, right?
Gosh, you're just making me think of all the dead malls that I've been to, and they're weirdly fascinating and depressing.
Hmm.
Isn't that a whole genre of YouTube of people exploring abandoned malls?
Oh, yeah. I was amazed at one of my childhood malls showing up on there in Memphis. The Hickory Ridge Mall that was famous for having a double-decker carousel, and that they showed that carousel and it was just falling apart.
Yeah, they filmed part of Wonder Woman at the mall where I used to live in Alexandria. Old abandoned mall.
Yeah, it's an interesting aesthetic, but how do we get on this? Oh yeah, the Ryan meetup at the Mall of America.
Yeah, you wanting justice for all Ryans?
All last name Ryans.
Uh huh.
So I don't know. Practically the whole of Italy, or not Italy, Ireland. I imagine that's a very common name there. I don't know.
Yeah,
why not?
I don't have a lot to talk about because the ending of Disgaea Mayhem was very underwhelming.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Well, we also have Josh Carpenter. Hi, Josh Carpenter.
Hey.
Hi. Still going at it day after day, doing your thing in the USA.
Yep.
Made a song. Not very good.
Not fired yet.
Why would you be fired?
Oh, I don't know. You know, things.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
What were you saying about Disgaea, Kelly?
I didn't realize I was going to blow through the main story in like a night.
Even though night? That was what you like finished it like the day after last cast.
It was Thursday night. It's like, you know, I've leveled up enough. I might as well go ahead and do the main story. And then, yeah, it's next thing I know, I'm rolling credits and I'm in the post game.
Well, you were warned by our review that it was short. He was not joking.
I knew that it was going to be short. I just did not expect it to be that short.
So, like, you spend some time grinding and you can just absolutely blow through it.
And I should have waited to grind anyway, because in the post game, you unlock the full potential of the cheat shop, which that's at that point you can turn up the EXP gain to 600, I think. Hang on. Yeah, 600 while keeping mana, money, weapon mastery, and items all at 100%. But if you turn off the rest of them, you can get crank it to 1,000%.
So you spent all that time grinding, and you could have done it more efficiently in the post game.
Yeah. There's only 8 episodes for the main story, and then one post game episode, and then you there's also a board game that I didn't touch at all because I actually hate board games in RPGs. But you have to do that to then unlock the Carnage Dimension, which is like the advanced, basically the hard mode for all the main story maps.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing last night because I wanted to see what happens when you get done with the Carnage mode. And I get into it and it's like, oh my God, this is too hard. Oh, because I still had the difficulty cranked up from when I was grinding. So put it back to zero was much more manageable. Now, I'm very conflicted because I love this game and I think it's an excellent game, but I feel like it's a tech demo for what could be a better game in the future, because I think it was you last week that mentioned, Josh, that mentioned that, well, it should be like an ensemble game with all the different characters. And it's like, you know, sounds like that would be fun, but you only have the one main character to play through the entire game. And I kind of don't understand why they didn't give you more characters to play as.
So it's like they play the story straight. It's a normal Disgaea story, just not tactical combat. Instead, you've got the Musou combat.
Mm-hmm. But like of the fun things about Musou is having dozens of characters to level up. And this one, I mean, granted, you have 8 different weapons that you can play around with. And you've got the monster buddies that you can bring with you. But you can only bring one monster buddy with you at once. Which I don't know why they didn't give you a full posse.
Hello, Tam. Robert Albright,
I can tell you why. I'm doing okay.
Hey.
The newest Dynasty Warriors has only a main character you play as.
Okay.
So they probably stylized it after the latest Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, they've got a new formula is what you're saying.
Okay. Exactly, yeah. So you only have the main character. Like, all the other characters show up, but you're not leveling multiple characters. You do have, like, multiple weapons you can pick up, but that's the that may have been the reason why is they're styling it after the newest entry, which did very well commercially for Dynasty Warriors, and not like the older ones where you had, you know, 80 plus some odd officers and all that.
Oh, how is that going to affect the Zelda ones then?
I don't know.
I just think that that's why I think that this was kind of a proof of concept to see how well it does, that maybe they can do a Sky of Mayhem Ultimate that has more playable characters or something. And it's just very unusual for a Disgaea game not to include cameos from characters in the past, because that's what Disgaea has always been.
Yeah, the regular Disgaea games always have the little cameos. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like I feel bad for complaining about it, because at the core of the game is very fun and very interesting, but it just feels like it needs a little bit more to justify the price.
Well, especially if you can blow through it in 20 hours.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't grind, but. Yeah. That's the whole point of a Disgaea game.
Sorry for crashing the cast again.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Thank you. I like the input. The live feedback. The livest feedback. The feedback is so hip and live, we can't control it. It just bursts onto the scene and says, yo, here's what you got to know.
Since you've gotten to post-game... have you started the post game? Have you seen any cameos in the post game yet, or not? Nope. Really, because a lot of times a lot of that's like very post game or very, well, mostly post game like content with the cameos. A lot of times,
nope. from what I understand, I think this Carnage world that I just unlocked is going to be it as far as any sort of post-game content. Just by looking at the achievement list. I mean, I could be wrong. It could have like different overlords as the bosses, but I'm not going to hold my breath. And yeah, it's just a very conflicting thing in my mind because this game is so fun. I just wish it had more. I'm with Wheels. He said that, yeah, at $60, you're going to feel kind of disappointed. And aww. Yeah, he was 100% correct. But I have a feeling this game is going to have a price drop pretty quick. So I would recommend it. I would just not recommend it at $60.
What price? Give me a price.
I mean, even 40 or 30
okay.
seems more reasonable.
Well, normal sale price. That's good.
And I also think there's a DLC season pass. Hang on.
Yeah. There is a story arc in the DLC season pass with Flan. So there's at least one character coming back.
Yeah.
But you won't play as them. You'll just interact with them.
Yeah, the bonus story alone is $30.
What?
Yeah.
That yeah. seems a bit abusive, predatory, aggressive, I don't know, something. Words.
Yeah.
Words.
See, so you got to spend $90 to get everything.
Because it doesn't even say if it's a season pass. I mean, it doesn't say that it's a season pass, so if they do more DLC, you're probably going to have to spend more.
Yeah. They've got like a pack that has all the extra digital art book and extra weapons and that kind of stuff for like $40.
Yeah, experience a bonus story and acquire the 5 new enemy types so that there are more monsters that you can recruit, but only with this DLC. And you can recruit Desko, who was from...
Desko! I want to be the final boss.
That was Disgaea 4?
Right? Is that them? Yeah.
Yes, that's Disgaea 4.
Because she was a monster, and the whole thing with this game is the magic change
system. Oh, they're doing magic change. Okay. So you can equip them as weapons
I
or
like
whatever.
Desko. I know some fans are not a big... do not like Desko.
Delvatore's but... I love, but... Desko and Pretty Girl, not a big fan.
Yeah, Pretty Girl, not so much. But I like Desko. She's adorable.
Desko was pretty OP, especially when you magic changed with her, because she had a screen clear, or not a screen clear, but like a 3x3, which is what you want to use for power leveling.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that actually kind of annoys me that a good chunk of the game is locked behind DLC.
So are you so engaged that you're going to have to get it, or are you so pissed off you're going to not do it?
I wishlisted it just to see if it's going to go on sale.
Probably the best course of action.
Because I'm already kind of annoyed that this was a $60 game and not like a $40 game for as short as it is. And yeah. And I'm normally not one to complain about, you know, the game price versus content algorithm that people like to complain about. But this just does seem a little bit like it should have been cheaper.
Kind of fits into the, this is not our normal series. This is our little side spinoff.
So basically, if you're a big fan, get it now. If not, wait for it on sale.
I would wait for it on sale.
Is it even worth playing at all if you don't care that much?
If you don't care that much, no.
Okay.
But if you want a fun action RPG.
That's, no, that means it is fun still. Once you,
yeah.
Yeah, all right, good.
I mean, cool. At the end, it was a lot more fun than a Trange Overlord.
Oh, all right.
I'll tell you that.
That was at this point.
It was another NIS game in the style of Disgaea, and that one played fairly weird. It was an action RPG, but I don't even know how to describe it or explain it. I thought it was going to be more of a strategy RPG, and instead the maps were all action, but had objectives like they were a strategy RPG, and it was just a very weird game overall.
Okay.
But yes, that is all.
That is all. Carry on.
I'm probably going to go back to Daybreak next week.
Yeah. Get back into the trails.
Yeah, since I would like to finish that before, our backtrack is in.
Kelly, December. You have a better game that you've been playing lately, right?
I don't know.
Tire Out the Kittens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've had virtual actual pet game.
Virtual actual pet? That's not virtual at all then, Kelly.
play with a cute cuddly kitten.
Yay.
And have to trim his nails, which is really freaking hard because his nails are so tiny and I don't want to trim them too close, but they're also surgical needles and my poor knees are hamburger because of how much he shredded them.
Aww.
No, our kitten is 3 months old this week. He is now at the all-legs stage of kitten.
All legs.
They just look like a kitten on stilts, all legs and ears. Or his ears are too big for his head. But he's still very cute.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, cool.
I kind of feel bad because when I was playing with the laser with him this morning and turned it off, he was still looking for it.
Aww.
And I'm told that that's what you're not supposed to do with a cat.
I mean, I've heard that. Like, Jackson always wants you to follow it up with a toy, make him think he caught what he was looking for, but like, it depends on the cat. Like, I try to do that with Scamper, and he's like, no, I want the dot. Bring the dot back out. And then he goes, which is his big huff he does when he's frustrated, disappointed, or just transitioning moods. And it's like, okay, buddy, I think we're done with laser for now. Come on.
The three youngest are chasing each other around the room right now. Frankie came out from the cat cube and scared Sanji so bad that he puffed up and hissed at Frankie.
Yes.
And then he's chased Frankie across the room, tried to jump into the laundry hamper and failed and knocked it over and is now playing in the laundry hamper and doesn't understand why he can see Vivi but not get to her in the laundry hamper.
Aw. I don't understand physics. I'm a baby.
And also, my bed has been a wrestling ring every morning. Every morning, WWE at the foot of the bed. So I did get a picture of Vivi and Sanji cuddling without violence. And what was hilarious was I said, oh, Vivi, is that your baby? And as soon as I said it, she got him in a headlock and started biting him like, no, I did not birth this kitten. So yeah, very, very fun times in the Ryan household with all the young cats.
It reminds me of this one time my mom's cats, Kieran and Brayson, who were nephew and uncle, by the way. They like to roughhouse with each other, but not when anybody could see them. So I'm sitting there late night playing WoW one day, and I hear them batting each other around the house, you know, beating up each other like normal. And they come scampering down the hallway I'm in. And they stop as soon as they get to my door, because, you know, I have my lights on. I turn and look at them, and they look at me, and they're like, we're not doing anything. So it kind of reminds me of that, because it's like, yeah, we're going to be best of friends, but not when you're watching.
Mm-hmm. I posted the cuddling without violence picture and our RPG cast channel so that you can look at it. And no, that story reminds me of the funniest thing I had ever witnessed our cat Jack do when we had our litter of kittens back in 2014. We'd found the litter of kittens that's where Zoro and Ozzy came from. And we got them in and had them in their little cardboard box, and they were mewing their heads off, and Jack took one look at that box, looked at me, and just turned and sauntered off like, not the father, not my problem.
Amazing.
Which is funny, because apparently if we would have had a girl cat at that time, the girl cat would have, like, tried to help. So, male cats are kind of deadbeat dads, I've learned. But, yeah. But that's all I've been playing is cute, cuddly kitten.
And Disgaea action.
And Disgaea action.
All right. Josh, what have you been up to?
More and more of the same. More of Atelier Yumiya. Man, that game has... I have mixed feelings about that game. Continue to. What... They have, like, put so many different things into it that aren't alchemy. Mm-hmm. Like the mechanic where you get to build little camps everywhere. Like, why did they include that in the game, Kelly?
I honestly do not know.
Like they encourage you to do it. Like, you get rewards kind of for, like, building these camps all over the place. And it's like, you know, you can go back to them and, you know, do alchemy if you set it up that way. But it's also like, I can just fast travel back to my main, you know, alchemy hideout. So why do I even need any of these things?
I think it's for helping you feel present in the outer open worldness areas. Like, we're out here. I'm not going back to town. I'm staying out here, sort of thing.
Well, that would make sense if they didn't have fast travel. Well, but they have fast travel.
Like, but people would revolt if they didn't have fast travel in a single player game. Like,
yeah,
but they also want it to feel open, like a world that you can live in. So, yeah, you have to role play it a little, because practically you have no reason to use the camps from a purely practical perspective. But they are there for people who want to be like, I'm out in the world right now. And it's okay for that to not be you. And it's okay for that feature to not feel right, because, like, the world isn't encouraging you to want to stay out in it for whatever reason. So, I don't know. That's what I got. That's my idea.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe and wrong.
The other purpose of the camps is so that you can put stuff in there to increase the item score of the world so that you can unlock more crap. Because you'll eventually run out of stuff to put in the main areas. Yeah. So those camps are kind of handy for padding that.
Like extra storage space.
Yeah. And, you know, but putting, like, alchemy stations and other handy things to have so that you can make stuff on the fly without having to travel back to the main atelier.
Yeah. And they have both the system where you can just completely micromanage it. Like, you can build it exactly however you want, build each individual thing. And then they have the, like, kind of like the shortcut system for the lazy people who are just like, hey, let me just build a store, you know, build a big house.
Yeah.
But that one also has problems, because I did that on one of the ones I did this week. I was just like, I can't be bothered to do all the little you know, like, build the alchemy pod and build the house around it and build a fence around that. I'm like, yeah, I can't be arsed. So let me just take the regular, take the shortcut thing. And so, you know, it forces you to kind of, like, put it out on the pad. And I'm like, well, there's a tree here, but surely, you know, surely it, like gets rid of the tree. If you just, like, stick the thing down, it lets you stick it. So, like, plopped it down on top of the tree and, like, no, it didn't get rid of the tree. So I had a tree coming out of my house. What? You could go into the...
Yes. You had a tree house.
You could go in the main door, and then there's, like, tree cutting through the wall. You could get to, like, one thing.
No
open
notes.
Another door, and it's just tree. You couldn't use, like, three quarters of the house.
Yeah, that system is very jank. Like you can tell that they did not have the budget to program that properly, like in I don't know what game, like a Sims or something that could properly align everything.
Yeah. Well, that was me. I was just like, I knew there was a tree there, but I'm like, well, it looks like it'll just let me put it there. It must just, like, you know, get rid of it. And you know, if it'll let me plop it down. It's like, nope. Booth right there. Great. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it doesn't really matter because you can just fast travel back to your main alchemy place. But I just thought that was great. The jankiness, though, is some of the fun in the game, like the exploration. There's so much of that. It's almost like the original, you know, like Zelda, where, you know, you could climb anywhere. This one, it's more like you can jump anywhere. Mm-hmm. And there are these times where you're like, I'm just like hopping, like trying to, you know, find these little places on the cliffs where I can like hop up and get to different areas. And you're never totally sure if this was what they intended or not.
Yeah, there's one spot in that second or third area where I was driving myself crazy trying to get to the top of this mountain that was like in a canyon, and I could not find the path for the life of me. And finally looked it up, and Reddit was like, yeah, this path that you find to get up there is like halfway towards the bottom of the map, and it kind of goes, I don't even know how to explain it. It like goes around a good chunk of the map before it even gets you in the vicinity of that area. And it's like, I mean, that's pretty clever to, you know, encourage me to explore, but I don't think I would have ever found that little outlet to get to that point on my own.
Yeah. There's been a couple of times when I've done that where it's been like incredibly circuitous to find the actual path to get somewhere, and you're mm-hmm. like, the map says I'm only 100, you know, whatever's meters or whatever it's using from it, but yeah sheer cliff, and I can't figure out the overall map they give you. I mean, if you're in an unexplored area, it shrouds it in fog to make it harder to see, which, you know, mm-hmm. I get that's part of the mechanic, but it still does kind of mean for those instances you're always kind of wondering, like, where am I supposed to go? Yeah, how far away do I actually have to go to try and find this path? And is there a shortcut? And sometimes that's fun, but sometimes it can be frustrating.
Yeah, because some of them, like in that first area, you won't even find how to get there until I think you do a side quest.
Yeah, which is another thing, which so many of the side quests are also kind of like inconsequential, that I'm like, do I really need to do these? A lot of them doesn't seem like I do.
Yeah, some of them seems as inconsequential, and then some of them are like, no, that's the only way you're gonna do full map completion. And I don't know about you, but I'm full map completion because that's just how I play.
I usually am, but I think I'm restraining myself in this one.
Yeah, no, that drives me crazy. That's like usually the first thing I'll do in any game is try to find all of the points that unlock the maps if I can.
Yeah, there was one point last night where I was just like hopping. I had somehow managed to get to the top of this mountain, and I'm hopping along, and there's a couple of different points where it's like, boy, those textures are really low res. Did they not expect me to get up here? It's kind of like, oh man, no one's going to see that. They're only going to see it from a distance, and you're up close and you're like, boy, that is a fuzzy gray block.
And then you've got those spots where you have to find like five relics in the ruins or whatever to unlock the map there. And it's like, I see where it is on the map, but I have no idea how to get to the top of this building.
Yeah. Do the puzzles ever get more complicated, or are they always just those dinky little line puzzles where you're just connecting one spot to the other on some rotating blocks?
I think that's all they ever are.
Like, that's disappointing. They're it's such a big thing in the game, is you're continually coming across, you know, shrines, and you have to solve the puzzle to, you know, like fix the shrine, and mm-hmm. then it's just like, oh, I'm just connecting a couple of points, a couple of lines.
Yeah. Oh, I think unfortunately that's just what it is the entire game.
Yeah. Those areas where, you know, like Gus' ambition outstrips what they're actually able to do with their smaller team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's weird. I'm still having an interest. Yeah, I'm having a decently good time exploring, but it is weird that like both the alchemy and the combat are kind of like meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very strange to play in a meh alchemy system in an Atelier game.
Especially since, you know, I had played Ryza for the first time last year, which had the most addictive alchemy system in the series thus far. And then this one is just, it's so boring.
I've tried to do it normally. I've been trying to force myself. And I can't. Every single time I do it, I'm not getting better items than you do just by doing it by auto.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, max it out. And then it spits out something that's basically the same. And it's like, well, why am I wasting my time with it?
Yeah, no, it's really confusing. And I use auto alchemy pretty much the entire game, unless something like
forced yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a couple of times when you got to make something with a specific trait or something like that, and you actually have to deal with it. But otherwise, like, yeah, you can just ignore it. Because, I mean, like I said, that's part of what I always enjoy about Atelier games is, like, finding those weird little ways to kind of, like, you create a trait in one thing, and then it gets wrapped into a second thing, and then it gets amplified in a third thing, and then you can turn it into a crazy bomb that does all kinds of damage.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ryza was so addictive because you had those nodes that you could, if you somehow made it to those nodes, that's how you unlocked new items. And that was really, really fun because, you know, as soon as I would notice that I had the item that could unlock the thing, I would immediately go back to the alchemy table and try to unlock it so that I could get the new items. And that's how you got the better field items that could do multiple things at once, since you could only equip four at any given time.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was so intuitive and interesting. And this system is just more style than substance, if you ask
me. It looks very flashy, but you're just kind of like sticking items into spots. And I played the game for like 20, 25 hours now. Still don't really understand exactly, you know, like your different items have different auras kind of around them. And that allows you to capture some of the, I forget what they call it in the system. Once again, it doesn't seem to really matter. The little mana points that are around, and that affects how high the quality of the item is that you make, and kind of like unlocks, you know, certain traits of the items. But like I said, it's frustrating that there is just not very intuitive and doesn't really seem to matter in terms of just like using the auto item create.
Meanwhile, most of the crap that you're gathering is used for like building furniture.
Yeah.
So you've still got to be picking up everything you see so that you'll have enough wood to make a bench to put in your campground.
That's the other thing with it being, I guess it's good in that sense that the alchemy system is so nerfed, because I can't imagine this game is so huge. You know, the world is so huge that usually when you're doing a bunch of alchemy and it's like, okay, I need these specific items to be able to create something, it's really easy to go back to those specific spots in the game and, you know, like go and farm whatever it is you need. Here it's just so big, so random. Like, I'd be spending a ton of time in FAQs trying to look up, like, okay, I need this item. Where the heck do I get it?
Yeah.
The only real frustrating thing I've had in that sense is just getting the, oh, and I'm forgetting what the heck they call them, the places that have the mana geysers where you actually are able to learn new alchemy recipes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went through a stretch where I just could not. You basically just kind of come across them as you wander around. And I ran through a stretch where I was needing some to kind of unlock the next story beat and just could not find any.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. It's a strange game.
It's a very odd Atelier game. Like the story and the characters and the exploration is pretty good. The alchemy and combat are meh. And it almost seems like it would appeal to a different kind of person that would normally like an Atelier game. No?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like Atelier fans of all the old games are going to feel somewhat alienated, but yet it's still a fun game.
I mean, the story, I'd almost say it's a spinoff, but I mean, the story is very much an Atelier story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has bigger stakes than an Atelier game normally has. You know, Atelier games tend to be a little bit more, you know, personal and smaller in their stakes than
the world. Ryza seemed pretty big stakes.
Yeah, well, I skipped the whole Ryza series, so okay. that's why I'm out. Yeah.
Well, I only played the first one to completions.
I only played the first and third one.
Just skip two. I remember you talking about that, yeah.
I can't remember who recommended to just go straight to three since two was okay, but...
I would say Platy.
I think it was Platy.
Yeah.
Or my best guess is it was probably Platy.
that two is fine, but it doesn't add much to the overall story from what I was told. Mm-hmm. So I just went straight to three, and I don't think it added anything new as far as alchemy was concerned.
Fair,
yeah.
So
yeah, maybe I picked the wrong Atelier game to play for if I was looking for some alchemy, but.
Yeah,
I've come around on it.
I had picked up that one that came out late in the year last year that was a spinoff of the mobile game.
Yeah.
That I was told was actually really good, I think, by Platy. I might pop that in later this year and see how that one plays. I wonder if that one plays more like a traditional Atelier.
I would hope so. Other than that, I've just been kind of like poking around at Jeanne d'Arc on my new Thor.
And Thor.
Yes. Man, the battery life on that thing's great. At least for playing PSP games. Yeah, I played like 5-6 hours this week. It was still only down to like 35% battery. Just even just kind of closing it, not turning it off, just leaving it in sleep mode. So battery life is nice.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah. And the screen quality is just fantastic. I really like the thing. I mean, it's one of those things you can't. I don't know that you can recommend it, given how expensive it is and the way the cost just keeps going up. It was much more. I think it started around 300, and now it's, you know, up to close to 400 as electronics tend to do these days. But we're in the bad timeline where if you want some sort of tech thing. It's like you just got to go ahead and buy it because, it's not the old days where everything gets cheaper and or faster. Now it's, you know, everything gets more expensive and or worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or both.
Or both. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you can just pay 20% more and get 10% less.
Fun. Woo! So I've been playing Project Gorgon, as you would expect. And I'm still playing a little bit of Path of Exile with David and Cyril on the from Who Watches the Show. Hi, how are you? How are you doing? Hi. Okay. What was I gonna say? I have an update for you.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm glad to be playing a game other than Project Gorgon, and it's nice to be social with different people for a little bit and to get different stimuli. Rather than just one game worth, right?
And that was Path of Exile, though, right?
Huh?
That was Path of Exile still, right?
Yeah. Okay, and but like...
Just making sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, they're still the same normal stimuli for me, but, you know, it's different than what I've been doing for the past 6 months, right? So that's...
Yeah. No. Not saying that. I just wanted to make sure that everybody's on the same page that it's... Path of Exile.
Uh-huh. And so the problem is that Project Gorgon is just a game designed for people who are weird like me. They had an update this week. They had an update. Guys, they had an update to Project Gorgon. They had an update.
Yay.
It didn't
add a ton of stuff, like a new skill here and there and some new ice cream foods and fix a bunch of bugs and stuff. Like, okay, cool. Make a dungeon better that they had added in the previous patch. They added a secret stupid skill. They said the skill was stupid and that it was secret. That's what we got in the patch notes. So people have done some digging in the game data, and we learned they gave animals the ability to learn how to poop. So as someone who plays animal-only classes in this game, I need to have this skill. I must be able to poop. You raise your experience when pooping when other people clean up your poop. So you can't just poop anywhere. You need to poop somewhere and have someone clean up after you. And it's like, so it's like being a cat and forcing them to take care of you. And that's how you level up, as being a cat, which makes a lot of sense. I think that's how my cats level up. Like, you will feed me now. You will clean up my mess. I am a little bit more of a cat than I was a few minutes ago. And I think that's great. The problem is nobody's figured out how to learn how to poop. It's still a secret. We don't know how to unlock it. So there is like just this undercurrent of anyone who plays in animal classes. Have you figured out how to poop yet? Do you know how to poop yet? I got to poop. I'm so constipated. We got to poop. I have been holding it for 6 months. The poop has to happen. The poop must flow. And we haven't figured it out. And it's the stupidest thing. And yet it keeps me wanting to play this game because we haven't figured out the mystery of the poop. And we must figure it out. Why? What is wrong with me? Why is this fun?
Have you found a Chinese restaurant in the game? I'm sure that'll help things.
Yeah, somebody wrote this dumb write-up like, you have to be on a high-fiber diet and then go to the specific cave and hang out with a goat, and the goat's going to show you this thing, and then you're going to be so scared you're going to poop, and that unlocks the skill for you. And we realized that sounds dumb enough that it could be real in this game, because stuff like that does happen. But none of the food has fiber stats, so we're like, this is made up. This person's trolling us. And we're like, ah, you almost got us. And we're like, what foods have the fiber? And we're thinking through it. And it's like, wait a second. There's no tracking of fiber value in any of the game's data files. This is not it. This is a troll. And we've been gotten. So, and or it's real and we don't know how to figure out how much food has fiber. So like, everyone's like, some people are like, well, I'm going to start eating only vegetables and see if it makes a difference. Also, so you might be wondering, you're making people clean up your poop. What's in it for them? It turns into high-level fertilizer, which matters for gardening and yield of crops and stuff in this game. So yeah, makes a lot of sense. But it's only good fertilizer if you eat high-quality food, so level 50 or higher. So that's, yeah, exactly. Your diet matters for the poop you make that turns into the fertilizer. It's so amazing. This game is perfect. All I'm saying. That's someone in the chat's like, what's keeping people playing Project Gorgon? And my answer for you is poop.
I feel bad for the squeamish people playing this game.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I think we already have the blurb for Chris.
Yeah.
It's like, Chris answers the question of why people keep playing Project Gorgon.
Yep.
Poop.
Poop.
There's a blurb just for Chris.
Chris needs to poop. Help him. That's what
I've
got.
Can an alchemist not make a laxative?
Not that we found. If we find one, like, we're going right for it. We will try. Like, there is no... You get points for dying in this game, so just trying crap out all the time is fine. Let's go. Let's go. Like, what can we try? What can we learn? What we have not attempted yet. Let's do it. Yep. So that's where I'm at. That's what I've been doing. Trying to figure out how to poop. I'm ready for feedback. Oh, what about you?
I crashed pretty early. I crashed in pretty early. I've been playing a game where I build really ridiculous battleships.
Okay. Is it
It is Battleship? A PS2 game called Warship. The full name is Naval Ops Warship Gunner 2.
Is this one of those things where the warship are anime girls?
No.
Okay.
This is actual battleships.
Okay.
And they are, I can make them completely ridiculous. And the game, and I am playing with cheat codes because, like, I would totally die, like, all over the place. But I am enjoying. It is one of my favorite PS2 games because you can just come up with completely ridiculous stuff. I'm going to put it in the a screenshot of my current ship in the
Discord
Zoom chat.
I'll put it in the Discord.
Oh, okay. I'll put it in the Discord channel too. So, yeah. So.
So you're like modifying the ships that you use.
Oh no! Yeah, it's completely module. So there's like a whole R&D system, and you get to research hulls and guns and different types of guns and planes and systems. Like, you completely build these ships from the ground up, forward bridges, aft bridges. I mean, everything, and it's just.
It's a PS2 game.
It's a PS2 game by Koei.
Real? Oh, wild. Okay, well, that tracks why it's PS2. I'm like, this sounds more like a PC, you know, like one of the weird little nerdy PC games.
Yeah, and it has a really it's an alternate, like, World War II-ish type of thing, where, you know, there's a coup d'etat in your country and you're on the ship and you get expelled and you have to kind of take on these super weapon bosses that are powered by really advanced secret tech that no one knows, probably aliens. But yeah, as you go through the game, like, you start with some very basic, like, designs and weapons, and, like, there's secret and there's, like, secret things you can pick up to get special tech, and, like, one of the weapons in the game, Kelly, is shaped like a cat, and it shoots lasers.
Perfect.
From its eyes.
Ah, so you've got a Princess Donut in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's called the cat laser. I think it's called the cat laser, but it just shoots lasers from its eyes, and, like, as you can see, I have, like, ridiculous guns on this thing. Like, look at all the, you know. So, and that's a battleship, by the way. I've got, like, a helipad, I've got rapid fire guns, cruise missiles, vertical launch missiles, you know, regular cannons, ram, there's some rams, I don't think you, yeah, you can, yeah, you can see some of the ram missile launchers there right behind the cruise missiles. So I've been just randomly sharing, like, I have an aircraft carrier that has a rapid fire machine gun right in the center of the deck, right where the planes get off. So it's stupid. The story is actually very, you know, intense, betrayal and whatnot. I've played this game quite a bit. The post game, there's a couple, like, just ridiculous missions where, like, one of the missions is, like, you're getting this weird signal coming from an island, and you end up finding out that, like, one of the characters is on that island just doing very bad karaoke. Like, that's post game.
Perfect.
It's just stupid. But the main game is actually very serious. And so that's what I've been playing pretty much all week outside of, like, daily grinds and Nikkei and Honkai Star Rail is this. And I am enjoying the crap out of it like I usually do. So that has been my week of gaming, is just Warship Gunner 2.
Perfect. Warship Gunner 2. Buy now for your PS2.
Sounds interesting, though.
Yeah, I would recommend, if anyone does it, use cheat codes, because the weapons have, like, limited ammo. Ships you destroy can drop, like, ammo crates to replenish your ammo and whatnot. But just use infinite health. Just use infinite ammo. It's still very fun even with all that.
I don't know if that could be a good question of the week. Have you found an older game recently that you've gotten hooked on?
I like it.
Because I wonder, how did you find this?
I actually own it. like for the PS2. I've had it since before the military. No, I picked it up in the military. One of my friends had it.
Uh-huh.
And I saw him play it. I was like, this looks stupid and fun. So, because, again, you can build, because you unlock different types of hulls, and you do have, like, tonnage, and, like, early in the game, you only have two types of engines that you can use, which is, like, boiler, they're all boiler-based, but it's either nuclear or diesel, and you have to use boilers. But now I'm using gas, which doesn't require the boilers, so I'm, which also takes up room, and you have to, like, and I have the game up, so let me go into the R&D, and I'll sort of show you how designing a ship works. Because you get, like, a whole blueprint.
Because, like, I plan on booting up Jeanne d'Arc at some point, just to see how it is. And I just find it interesting when people, you know, just kind of look in their library, and it's like, how did I end up with this? I better play it and then end up liking it.
Yeah, it's because when you put on different ship parts, they also have different, like, they take up space, obviously. So, like, some parts you can't put on top of other... Oh, one sec, let me... I've been having some issues with...
For those who are listening at home, Tam is currently providing an image, an updated image for the Discord, for me to show to people
okay.
who are watching live.
Put it in the Discord.
Okay. With that. That's a lot of systems. This is a lot of management of a warship. I'm confused.
Yeah. So, and you can. So, yeah. You put them literally on the blueprint, being like, okay, I'm going to put this weapon here. But then you also have, like, height. You can adjust their height, so you can have multiple weapons sort of overlapping, and you can also. But you can see underneath where all the engine stuff is too. So, like, if you have a big thing that goes really far down, it can't overlap those, and. It's but again, I find it really fun because look at this aircraft carrier. It's stupid. I love it.
It's ridiculously deep.
Aircraft carriers are huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually really did some good. Like, these are, like, the stuff in this game is based off of real actual world, like, systems and ships and hulls and shapes and stuff. This is, like, they did a really good job with this. It only has these two games. I don't know if it was a matter of them not selling well or what, but I love this game because you can do just wacky ships, you know, wacky stuff. And there, and again, I haven't even gotten to the truly, like, post game experimental weapon stuff yet. And maps have, like, secrets you can pick up. Like, there's sometimes underwater bases you have to destroy, which will give you a secret blueprint. Or sometimes, like, fulfilling certain objectives will give you transport ships that will travel across the map in certain areas that you have to go destroy to get the secret blueprint on those maps. And there's three different routes for who you have as your XO. All sorts of stuff.
Sounds fun.
I really enjoy it. It may not be for everybody, but part of my fun in this game is just being able to throw as many guns onto a hull as I can.
Perfect.
And get away with it.
Well, I think that brings us to feedback for real then, right?
Indeed. We asked last week, are you interested in the Thor or other PC-based handhelds? And we only had the one response from Shaman.
Oh, I think we had a response in, or some feedback in the,
Would you mind looking that up, Tam?
Yeah, I'm throwing it up right now.
Okay.
Thank you. From Shaman, I have a Steam Deck, but, I have a Steam Deck, but mostly have used it for, let's call them, non-Steam games. So I was considering a smaller form factor handheld to use for those, and Thor's design was intriguing. However, the Thor has gone up in price twice since I started looking at it due to component concerns. So I'm basically waiting for three CEOs to go up against the wall and hoping to catch a price drop. Also, the TF and the micro SD slot stands for TransFlash, which was an older name for the micro SD format. But I did not know that.
Why are they using it here, though? This is not an older device.
No.
So weird.
Maybe if you have the older cards?
Or is it something more common in China?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Vaughn 3D printed a micro SD card case that's really neat, but you can't fill it to full because then you can't, your fingers are too fat to get the cards out.
I have nails.
I do not. I bite them. from Livy, RPG cast feedback. Sorry, folks, if I'm late and missed the cutoff for feedback this week. I just wanted to give an update. I've completely recovered from my heart attack and am the healthiest I've ever been. Made some big life changes and moved to a horse farm and have been working with the creatures for a couple of weeks. It has been the most healing experience of my life. Horses connect with people on such a profoundly deep level, and I finally understand the weird horse people as I too have become one of them.
Oh, cool.
Outside of that, I'm still working through my ever-growing backlog. I restarted Red Dead Redemption 2, and it occurred to me now that I'm working with horses and relaxing by playing a cowboy simulator, not beating the autism allegations with that one.
No.
RPG-wise, I'm really excited for Beast of Reincarnation. Game Freak looks to have crafted something really unique. Dragon Sword is also on my list. The single-player gacha spin looks to be something I could get into. I'd love to hear about Kelly's experience with Disgaea Mayhem, as that is a game I am interested in. Anyway, sorry for the long time away on my end. Life is reaching a point of normalcy again, and I hope to be regularly submitting.
Oh, we look
Thanks
forward
for
to
all
that.
You folks do.
Yeah. Yay.
Well, if you hadn't heard, Livy, like I said, Disgaea Mayhem is very short and endlessly replayable, but also very short. So
wait for the sale.
I would wait for a sale, but that's just me.
Chris, does Project Gorgon have horses?
It does, but I can't really ride them as a cow or a wolf. If I were a giant bat or a rabbit, I could ride my horse. But instead, if you're an animal, you are the mount most of the time.
Yeah.
So you just run faster.
So you're not, you can't do the Red 13 weird
no.
sit upright?
I mean, if I was a rabbit or a giant bat, I could. And it does look weird and awkward, and it's amazing.
I think that stuff's funny.
Yeah. Cows are well known for their extreme speed, says Lady Death. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They make it work in here somehow.
Hippos are also known for their extreme speed.
I'm not a hippo, though.
I'm just saying hippos are also known for it. Yep. I don't know how many people knew that hippos were fast.
I did not, or I don't remember that, because you wouldn't think it.
I mean, I've heard that hippos kill more people in Africa than every year than lions.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're very aggressive, and yeah, people misunderstand just how quickly they can get going.
You do not want to stand between a hippo and water.
Okay, then.
That's what I've heard.
Humans kill more people than anything else. Yes, thank you, Chaos. We understand that. Yes.
Well, are we ready for news?
Boop, 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 boop.
Who wants a fantasy steampunk strategy RPG?
Yeah.
Me.
Oh, okay.
Developer Anthony Nguyen, a.k.a. Dreamsend Games, has unveiled Dreamsend Wintersong, a steampunk strategy RPG available to wishlist now on Steam.
It's got a weird aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Pixel art on 3D backgrounds, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Doesn't look bad, though. Just no. Looks odd.
Could be interesting. Says the Steam Deck like says it's 2.5D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aping the 2DHD style. We shall see more in the future, I guess.
But I like strategy RPGs, so that's why that is for me.
Nacon and Eco Software released a free major update for the action RPG Dragonkin, The Banished, called the Dracomodius Purgatory update that includes cross-play support, a new challenge mode, and more. Has anybody played Dragonkin, The Banished?
I have not. I do always looks love like, free updates.
Looks like an action RPG.
Diablo. It looks like Last Epoch.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be on my list, I guess. I haven't heard of it, though. Why not? Free update? Oh, it's a. Is it a free-to-play? Released this month.
$24.99 on Steam.
What? I just don't know anything about it. Dragonkin. There you go. Who killed dragons, I guess. It looks pretty. Who wrote a review?
We don't have
one. Oh. Well, that's our problem. We better get a review up. Yeah, this is a Diablo-like. What am I waiting for? Oh, right. Eight other games that I want to play at the same time. Got it.
You're trying to poop, Chris.
That's right. I'm trying to poop. That's what I'm waiting for. Yep.
Sounds like a personal problem. Neo 3's Hell Rising DLC is releasing this month, August. I can't believe it's August already.
It is August. Today.
It is August, yeah.
Hell Rising sees the protagonist Takeichi travel to a new stage in 1651 Edo. Edo, right. Also includes new Hoko and shield weapon types, a new Enlightened One's Journey difficulty level, new customizable challenge battles, and new skills.
Neo 3. Hell Rising. Who's been playing Neo? Nobody? Okay, cool.
No. Yeah.
Not on this show.
I've had multiple people recommend it to me.
All right.
Because apparently there's cats in it.
Hey.
Yes.
Are they the weird star cats that I've seen?
I don't know. I don't know that much.
But, yay. More Neo 3. Heroes of... How do you say that? Aniria? Heroes of Aniria begins its playtest. Available.
I'm going
Steam.
With Aniria.
Aniria?
Why not?
I would say Aniria.
Heroes of Aniria sees players meet over 20 heroes across the world of Aniria, each hero with their own story and gameplay elements, and a procedurally generated campaign.
Okay.
Could be interesting, I suppose.
Yeah. You can get an eagle guy, and a minotaur guy, and a knight guy, and an elf archer lady, and a rat guy is the merchant, and I don't know what's going on. It looks very, pixel.
Yeah.
Right? But 3D pixel, weird. Yeah. The playtest, it's going to be Kickstarted? Yeah. They're gonna do a Kickstarter soon, so... Playtest before Kickstart is an interesting strategy.
What is Kickstarter anymore?
Pre-order engine?
Yeah.
I'm here. It's better for like books and tabletop games.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend that's funding a book right now. Wu Chang Fallen Feathers has a sequel in development, being published by 505 Games and being developed by, how do you say this? Endolphinity?
Oh, yeah.
Endolphinity, a new studio in China founded by the original game's creative director.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody here play the Wu-Tang? Or
Wu-Chang?
Wu-Chang?
No.
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 We gave it a halfway decent review on the site. It was like 3.5 out of 5.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
No. Nah. It looks, you know, it visually make another one. Good.
Yay. All right, what about Brigandine? The new Brigandine, not the re-release of the old Brigandine or what? There's too many Brigandines.
Its console demo is now available ahead of its release in August.
Yeah.
Just Brigand okay, done with month. It.
So, by the way, this is a new Brigandine. Brigadine.
New.
Yeah.
As opposed to old new?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there was the original PS1 one. Okay. And then there was Brigandon, the Legend of Runercia, which was like a new one that came out like let's see, in 2022. So this is a new one.
No.
I'm still surprised this game has like any sequels at all.
It's a very niche RPG, I imagine.
Very niche SRPG, because you summon monsters to do your battles for you as an SRPG, but you have to summon them like during the battle, and it is unique.
It actually sounds a bit like Langreaser to me, but with
a little bit, yeah.
But with hex instead of hex grid instead of the square.
Yeah, it is hex grid.
So.
And they're keeping the hex grid.
So there you go. Let's see. What else?
Naruto. No.
Yeah, I was like, that looks just like the game I just talked about. Okay, it's a completely different game.
Yeah.
Eruda is coming to consoles.
Uh-huh.
I guess it was released for PC last year, and it's a bakery-themed, a bakery management-themed action RPG.
As you do.
Looks like the combat is crazy.
It's weird looking.
I don't see a lot of bakery in these screenshots.
I mean... Yeah. I see bakery inspired elements here and there. No, okay, this is just Guitar Hero. I don't know what's going on now. All right.
I'm watching the trailer on Steam.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if he plays a cat girl or a fox girl.
Maybe you get to choose. A-E-R-U-T-A, Eruda, if you want to figure out what the heck we're talking about, because I don't think any of us understand it. Is it coming out here soon? No, it's just announced. For consoles and support Japanese, English, traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, and Korean. So this is going to be one of those like Southeast Asia releases, I guess. Or all right.
It looks like you. What am I trying to say? Like Sakuna of Rice and Ruin, where you're doing the exploration in a Metroidvania environment and then going back to make bread.
Yeah,
make bread.
That kind of tracks.
Yeah. This actually looks kind of neat. I have wishlisted it. I'm curious how it will play. Anyway, but moving on.
Moving on!
Has anybody played Dread Delusion?
No.
No.
Not anymore.
This is a weird PS1-inspired Kingsfield type game.
That would be why I haven't played it.
Yeah, well, it's getting a physical edition for PS5 and Switch 2.
So wait, there's another company that is making a... Dollar Store Kingsfield?
Yeah.
Or is this the same?
No, that's Lunacid. Which honestly still amuses me that they got the actual Kingsfield engine to actually make Lunacid 2.
Mm.
And yeah, the Switch 2 version includes the game on the cart. It is not a key card. I have heard good things about this game if you're into that sort of thing.
Into that sort of thing. All right, cool.
Let's see. And then finally, a Crime Light trailer has been announced. I completely misread. Crime Light trailer and a limited time demo has been released. This is part of the Crystar series from Furyu.
So it is not just Furyu, because Furyu was not involved with Cry Machina, which is the second game. But it's from the same creator. So yes, it is part of the Cry series, but it is not... It's complicated.
All right.
Because like one was NIS, one's... Yeah, it's...
It looks creepy as heck.
They are creepy games.
Okay.
It is called Dark Bishoujo Action RPG.
Okay.
And yeah, the battle demo will be available through Steam until August 9th.
But this one is going to be more of a roguelike with cards.
I think I picked up one, I think Crystar, when it was on sale on Steam for like $1. They had discounted at like 95% or something ridiculous when Cry Machina came out.
I mean, I enjoy Crystar. It can get a bit of a slog. Especially if you want like the really good ending, because you have to play everything like 3 times.
Oh, fun.
But the story is actually is not bad.
So I'd
say maybe like 2.5 on our grade.
We've actually got more new release dates than full news stories this week. So I'm just gonna blow through these and stop me if you want to elaborate more.
Alrighty, let's do it.
We've got the detective RPG Kill the Shadow launching very soon.
Yeah.
This is a Chinese cyber war that will be available on PC via Steam next week.
Okay. All right.
Forsaken Realms Viren's Call is a fantasy action RPG available on PC via Steam and features a classless character progression system.
So like an Oblivion style game, right?
Yeah, is it Forsaken Realms? Is that D&D, Jason, or is it just sound?
I don't know. You're thinking of Forbidden Realms.
Forgotten Realms.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. It sounded D&D.
Yep.
I mean, it does sound D&D, but this is
a publisher in this case, right? Or a developer. Okay. Yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate is getting a physical Switch 2 version.
Mm.
Does it have, is it a key card or is it on the card? I think it's on the cart because the box that they showed does not say key card. And this is the Switch 2 exclusive Legendary Edition with the extra playable characters, Casey Jones, Metalhead, Alopex, and a fourth mystery character. And this is the TMNT Hades roguelike that I've heard a lot about. I've heard it's very good. It goes on sale all the time for like less than $5. So
cool.
At some point I would like to check it out.
I have heard nothing but good things. It's just like I have not made time for it and I should. I feel like
I'm the same way. Cause I do love me some TMNT.
But do you also love yourself some Star Ocean?
I do. Star Ocean PC versions of Star Ocean, The Second Story, and The Divine Force are now available on GOG. I wonder why only those two.
Because they're the only ones that are on PC already, except for 4.
Gotcha.
And basically, these are basically GOG ports of Steam of the Steam releases, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So DRM. So hopefully DRM free.
I imagine so if it's on GOG.
Nope. Not everything on GOG is DRM free.
Oh, I thought that's what GOG sort of advertised.
A lot of stuff is, but not everything. The chances are higher that it will be, but.
Yeah. The
I liked 6. I know Hero Harmony did not, but I think he was having, because I watched some of his streams, I think he was having a lot of trouble trying to figure out how to do the blind sighting, and that's a very key thing you kind of have to do in that game.
See, I didn't like Star Ocean 6 because the text was too small.
Particularly, I did not have that issue, but...
On console, yeah.
Get a bigger TV.
I have a 60-inch TV. It's not the TV's problem. It's
that is a joke. So I actually have a friend who, if the text is too small, he will literally go and get a bigger TV.
Yeah, no, I literally cannot get a bigger TV for my area right now. It's a problem that game devs have a lot because, you know, they're working on their PC. It's right in front of them. They don't realize that people are going to be playing this on their TVs. And I don't understand why they can't add anything to increase the text size.
Hmm.
They don't plan from the beginning for that.
Yeah, they don't plan it. It's become a real problem since I've gotten older. But anyway, speaking of tiny text, we've got a minimalist RPG releasing in August.
I don't think that's what minimalist means, but sure.
I mean, it does have tiny text.
It's not that tiny. It's full screen. I can read it.
That was a bad transition. I apologize.
It's okay.
Mini Quest.
Quest.
Will release in a couple of weeks and has a demo on Steam currently. And it's weird that the name of this game is not capitalized.
Well, it's Mini.
Yeah.
Tinies.
They're sticking to the bit.
I guess. I mean, it looks cute.
And it looks like you run it over and over, so maybe it's a roguelike or something? Or I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah. Planned release date August 13th on Steam.
Find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Sigilfarer is launching in September. This is a dice rolling roguelite set in a procedurally generated world broken by a magical disaster. It looks like Civ.
I'm not sure what it looks like.
Yeah, no idea. Originally announced as Wanderer's Sigil. Now it's Sigilfarer.
I mean, it has the hexagon world map, so that's where you're getting the Civ thing. But, like, party-based combat with statues, it looks weird.
And dice.
And dice.
Yeah. Looks neat. Check it out. Gear, dice, board game style map. Why not?
Do you guys want more Harvest Moon in your life?
I'm good, but I know some people would, so let's hear about it.
The Lost Valley and Skytree Village are now released on mobile. iOS and Android, $10 each. These are re-releases of the DS games.
Means one of these Andy worked on.
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly, it's your series.
Yes, Fuga Melodies of Steel is now available on mobile, too.
That's the third one, right?
The first one.
Oh, it's the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're numbered.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're both it's available on iOS and Android. What are they charging? $23.99 with a launch discount of 20%. So this would probably be more of a tablet game.
Yeah.
But if it has touchscreen controls, that would probably work pretty well with how this game plays. I would highly recommend it, though I would also wait for a sale, because I know on the other consoles, these games go on sale for like $10 all the time. Though I guess on console, they're $40 currently. So I guess you're already getting
some. Is there a bundle where you can just get them all?
On Steam, I believe so. Let me check.
I'm already there.
Are you there?
Yeah. Let's see.
Steam is good about bundling.
They have a bundle of 1 and 2, but not with 3.
I'm surprised. I'm sure when CyberConnect eventually announces their next project in this universe, they will release a bundle with all 3.
Yeah.
One hopes.
Mm-hmm. And what's next? 1,000 Hells? Another Disco Elysium-like?
The Underworld Heist.
Oh. This is this is more like, actually just said it, from the developer of King of Dragon Pass and Six Ages. So it's like narrative with choices, kind of like you're doing a single player tabletop RPG sort of thing. So very story focused and making choices that I'm sure will not result in good endings no matter what you choose.
Bad times were had by all.
I want all the bad endings.
Cool. Dungeon Antiqua 2 is set for console release for next month. This is a retro dungeon crawling RPG, where, and I guess the first one came out on consoles recently.
Looks like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
A dungeon crawling RPG inspired by SNES classics, which is weird because it looks like Final Fantasy 1, but okay. You explore six dungeons with visibility of corridors and enemies depending on the party's current vision. It takes about 12 hours to complete, and you build a party from 10 different classes, five of which are unlocked at the start, so neat. $11 on August 20th.
Pokemon Pokopia Expansion Pass Part 1 is releasing next week.
Oh, you going back?
I might. The Bubbly Basin is going to release alongside the game's free version 2.0 update. The free update includes Dive, which lets Ditto explore the game underwater. And the DLC further expands the underwater content.
Bubbly Basin. Growing some algae underwater.
Yeah, Bubbly Basin is the first of three planned DLCs covered in the expansion pass. So, yeah, how much is this expansion pass? I think it's like $30.
That's not too bad.
$34.99 and includes the three-part DLC bundle. So that's good to get all three for the one price. Anyway, RuneScape Dragon Wilds is getting a physical release. This is a survival RPG for RuneScape. And there's also a new update for the game's early access version. Is anybody curious about this?
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. Well, there you go.
I'm curious about it because I do like survival RPGs. Gather, build, skill, and craft in this cooperative survival adventure. Well, no, it looks kind of neat.
There's nothing wrong with enjoying what you enjoy.
RuneScape was one of those games that was kind of off my radar back in the day, but every time I see it played now, it's like it looks kind of cool, but I know this is just the epitome of old RPG jank.
Old RPG jank.
Anyway, Stupid Never Dies is releasing in October. And that Sega is going to be acting as its co-publisher. What is this about?
It looks like, honestly, this was the game with the zombie
one.
Boyfriend reviving the girl.
Yeah, the human. Yeah. Kind of in a post-apocalyptic, but it's very stylized. And
honestly, it just makes me think of a gender-reversed Lollipop Chainsaw.
Why is MC Hammer dancing with fire wings? Sorry. This trailer is weird.
The whole every trailer for this game has been weird.
Okay.
That is really MC Hammer.
October 21st.
I thought that you were just like, oh, this must be a dude that looks like MC Hammer. No, that is him.
Well, legally distinct, Kelly.
I guess. I mean, he does commercials. It wouldn't surprise me if it was really him.
Honestly, he's not as broke as people think because he shows up in like all these commercials and stuff. And he's actually, the last I heard, he was also a chaplain. He went back to being a priest.
Okay.
He also did a collab with Psy live at one of the award shows back when Gangnam Style was really big.
Opa Gangnam Style.
I'm not joking.
I mean, I do enjoy a good comedy RPG, so.
I don't know if from what I've seen, I don't know if that's going to be good, though, Kelly. I'll let you try it and tell me.
I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be lining up to get this day one. I'm just curious about it.
Really MC Hammer? Are we talking?
Looks like.
It just looks like him, right? I was just making a joke. They didn't actually get him to do a bit, did they?
No, I don't think
so. Okay, I'm so sorry. That was in the chat. Someone's like, yeah, he filed bankruptcy, so he needs the money. I'm like, wait, this isn't actually
him. He filed bankruptcy like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, he's not as bad off now as he was then.
You think? You don't know. 90s. You don't know him. Maybe he's worse off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, now he's not as bad off as he was 30 years ago.
He could be worse now. We don't know. Who's reporting on MC Hammer? That's the question for this week. What the heck is going on with MC Hammer? We need to know.
Yeah, so he's current. So he's current. His current estimated net worth is about $2 million.
What? What?
Yeah. Now, that's a fraction, of course, from his peak in the 90s when it was 70 million.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah, but as I said, he's not hurting right now.
You know what's hurting me is this transition to the next game, Extetra Remaster, where you have to kiss the girls and level them up.
Oh, is this the new...
It's the new Tulip, but not really. It's like a...
It's old.
Yeah, it's an old... We talked about it before. It's...
3DS Vita game.
Mm-hmm. Kiss the Girls, Make Strong, coming out September 3rd on PS5, Switch, Switch 2.
Michael and Baker reviewed it's out on PC this week for us.
Yeah.
Okay. And surprise, it got a 2 out of 5.
Wow.
Maybe it's better now.
All right.
I doubt it.
Forget that. Let's talk about... Oh, we talked about this last week. There's the game with the evil demon cat in it that's like, Night Fever, Night Fever.
Oh, Demon's Night Fever?
Yeah.
Releasing in October.
But it's got a kitty in it, like, Kelly. You got to play it.
Yeah.
You like playing as the bad guy and you kind of level up by killing your minions.
The genre is speedrun training simulation RPG.
Okay.
With a lot of like former NIS staff or something. Like, what? I don't know what's going on. Game includes the Peon Exploitation System combat mechanic, which encourages players to sacrifice their own allies. The more underlings are killed, the stronger they can reincarnate. Players earn perverse points by committing misdeeds, which they can use to build their army. Yeah, and that's why we've got an evil cat helping you out. Because this is feline levels of evil. So
I always contend
feline's level of evil.
I always contend that my cats are too lazy to be evil.
I don't think this cat's too lazy. The one in this game, they look pretty into it. Whenever they show up on the screen again, look at this guy. This guy's got like demon possessed tail and everything. Like there's all this and a third eye. They've got power. Oh yeah, this is an evil cat.
It could be so cute.
I wonder if it's any good. I have no idea.
He's possessed. He looks cute.
Yeah, my little possessed little boy bear.
Michael's already has their Halloween stuff out, and I picked up two little black cat figurines because I feel like that's the only time of year I can get black cat merch.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, voids are underappreciated.
Yeah, but you're getting only because you can't find Tuxie merch.
You can surprisingly find more Tuxie merch than
Void. Oh, I thought Tuxie was your favorite, so that's why you're... Okay.
Chris.
What?
All kitties.
They're all my favorite. I must hug, pet every cat. Got it. What is going on with this weird Animal Crossing-esque farmy sim thing? Star Sand Island.
Star Sand Island?
Barbara Star Sand Island.
Describe it, Chris.
Oh, I can read it. Let's see. Star Sand Island sees players returning to their relaxing childhood home island for personal healing. Got personal healing. No, that's different.
But you're going to try and monetize it as a being a vlogger?
They build and decorate their own countryside villa while farming, fishing, befriending animals, building relationships with the locals, and more. You can travel using a number of vehicles, sail to other nearby islands, and there's mysterious runes where you can find treasure. You can do dress up of your character, it looks like. We saw the little vlogging stuff, but those could just be like story cutscenes. We don't know if you
Basically, it's Harvest Moon, but on an island.
Which has been done. Harvest Moon has done that, as has Story of Seasons, as has many other. Yeah,
exactly.
You can fish. It feels more like Animal Crossing to me in that regard. Oh, and then there's like combat. Okay, so this is a full-on RPG plus Harvest Moon plus fishing plus, I guess. Anyway, it's been in early access on PC and Xbox for a while. It's going to be on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch 2 as of August 18th. And then physical versions out in November. $40 if you want on pre-order. Okay. That brings us to the end of the news. Hmm. I have a list of new releases for you this week. So, first off, Pam, are you ready? Final Fantasy 14 is coming to Switch 2.
Whoa.
Okay. Someone's happy. Just not you.
Um, Okay, it's coming to Switch too, which means a new audience. Fine, you know, honestly, that doesn't. It's not big news to me. I'm not going to get it for Switch 2. I'm going to play it on PC.
But you can play it in bed.
No.
When's a new expansion out, Tim?
I don't think they've given a official release date yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Next up is Beast of Reincarnation for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. This is the Pokemon people making a Monster Hunter game. Step into the role of Emma the Sealer, along with her canine companion, Ku, as they confront the source of the world's corruption to save humanity from extinction.
People have been surprisingly hype about this.
Okay. Then we have Fields of Mystria for PC. Start your new life. Build the farm of your dreams as you discover a world brimming with possibilities. Magic, romance, and adventure all await you in this nostalgic farming slash life sim RPG. Another farming game. Yep. Lies of P come to Switch 2. That's the Pinocchio Dark Souls.
Yep. Good game.
We have
Hard game.
Dalek Town for PC. Dalek Town is a cozy pixel art farming simulation set in a post-apocalyptic world. Build your dream farm from scratch and explore this mysterious wasteland.
Yeah, this is the Metroidvania farming exploration one.
Okay. So like that other, so like Star Sand Island, but Metroidvania instead of more loose 3D art.
Honestly, I'm more interested in that than Star Sand Island.
Yeah, yeah, fair. Then we have Montabi for PC, Xbox, and both Switches. Assemble a team of Montabi in this creature collector roguelike deck builder. Master their abilities, synergize their strengths, and save the city in tactical turn-based combat. So it's Pokemon, but cards and turn-based tactical.
I'd be hesitant about this one. I am hearing some issues.
Okay. Thank you. And then finally, we have editorials.
Oh, slow week on editorials.
It's because we had all of them last week, it seemed.
True.
Michael Baker reviewed Veritas Tales, Witch of the Dark Castle. I believe this was the vanillaware looking choose your own adventure game. I think.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed.
Michael gave it a 3.5 out of 5, saying that it's a different sort of game experience and the actual text and localization is well done.
I'm going to say not vanillaware. I'm going to say more storybook with some detailed fantasy art stuff, and then it looks like the board you're collecting looks like that card you have to fill out in Final Fantasy 14, Tim, of dungeons and objectives you need to complete to get bonuses. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but more from Chained Echoes.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Anyway, negatives are issues with punctuation and not compatible with Steam Deck.
What? Boom.
Which seems odd to me.
It seems like the kind of thing you would want to play on a Steam Deck.
Yep.
Maybe they just didn't want to integrate mouse support into controller.
Well, maybe. What if instead of that, we played an old SNES game?
Yeah, Sailor Moon, another story retro review. I had seen this in many ROM lists back in the day whenever I would sail the high seas. This is for the SNES from Scar. Mm-hmm. He gave it a 3 out of 5, saying that the Sailor Scouts look fantastic and the battle animations are crisp and varied, but some of the songs are bad. There is no introduction for new players and grinding feels like a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fan service.
Big surprise. Most anime RPGs are bad.
Honestly, this one isn't as bad as some of the ones I've played.
I tried to play the Inuyasha ones back in the day, and they were all pretty terrible.
Those are bad, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the fighting game is not bad, but those are generally bad, yes. The RPG is very bad.
Which sucks because I love the new Yasha.
Speaking of bad RPGs, we played a bunch for July. No, they weren't bad. That's bad transition.
Oh, I had opened all the things before Josh put that in.
So there is a final, the end of JRPG July, where you can see everyone's final August. Update. Yeah. So now it's Action RPG August, right?
No.
Yeah, sure.
No? Okay.
All you, Chris.
Okay, great.
Get on it, Chris.
Mm-hmm. On it.
I'll be waiting for your update next week.
Mm-hmm. So you could see updates from Strawberry Eggs, from the stream team, from the
Platy,
Engel, Sinclair, Asim, Carp, and Lena, you, Josh.
Bunch of them. Yeah, yeah. Although you kind of heard my thoughts today.
Yeah, that's true. That's it. Okay.
That's it.
That is it.
That is it. So, a question of the week is the following. Have you rediscovered an older game that you're now hooked on? Tell us about it. You can leave us that feedback on the show thread in rpgamer.com. You can do it on the Discord, on the YouTube, on the socials, the Blue Skis. Thank you for listening. You can also check us out every week, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, at twitch.tv/rpgamer. I want to thank Josh, Kelly, and Robert for being on the show today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for listening. And I would like you to send in also any suggestions you have to make the show better. Always listening. Okay. So, with that said, and knowing what's coming out, which farming RPG are you going to play this week, Kelly?
I don't think I'm going to play a farming RPG. I think I'm going to continue with the Disgaea Mea postgame, Mayhem postgame, and then go back to Trails Through Daybreak.
And Josh, what are you going to farm?
I guess I'm farming items in Yumiya still.
Okay. All right. No, good being on scheme. On theme. Excuse me. Thank you. And Robert, you farming anything? You farming anime girls? Is that a thing? That sounds like a thing.
No, I'm going to be farming for secret weapons in my battleship simulator.
Ah, okay. Farming for mines and torpedoes and microwave laser
shooting
beams.
Cat statues.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah. And I will be farming for poop. I need to learn how to poop in my video game. I gotta figure it out. I will give you a poop date next week. Poop date, poop update, an up poop.
Taco Bell. I've heard that they've got problems lately.
Well, it's not just Taco Bell.
So I need to eat iceberg lettuce and eggs. And what else, Tam? What else is getting people sick? Anything else?
Eggs are getting people sick now?
Yeah, salmonella again.
Anything else, Tam, or just eggs on salad? Eggs on lettuce.
Egg salad.
Egg salad. Perfect.
There you go.
There's no lettice in egg salad, but we'll have to figure that out.
You put eggs in salad.
No, but there's no lettuce on egg salad.
I know.
Oh, so just a salad with eggs. So Caesar salad.
No. You can make egg salad, put it on some bread, put some lettuce on top of it. There you go.
Egg salad sandwiches. Perfect. That actually sounds tasty, too. So
I was going to say, did you never like do the salad buffet as a kid and put lots of eggs and ham in it, thus negating the healthiness of a salad?
Of course, because who wants to eat a salad as a kid? Even want to eat a salad now.
But I didn't like eggs as a kid.
I figured out that the secret to tasty salads is sesame seeds.
Mm.
Or, sorry, sunflower seeds.
Ah, okay. Okay. Different vibe.
Dressing.
All right. Mm-hmm.
They give it a crunch that kind of helps. And I've been doing cutting up imitation crab meat to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing this because I was diagnosed with high cholesterol, and seafood helps with that, particularly imitation crab meat. So I was doing lettuce with sunflower seeds and almonds and, oh gosh, what else? The imitation crab meat.
At least you weren't doing shrimp, because that would have just made your cholesterol worse.
See, I could have sworn that shrimp was on the list of good things for you.
It is naturally high in cholesterol, though.
Sometimes the lists change, Kelly.
Okay.
And also, I don't know.
It didn't matter. Shrimp is expensive.
Ah, fair enough.
It was a lot cheaper just to buy the imitation crab meat or the prepackaged salmon or tuna. The opening a tuna packet in my house is just asking to be attacked.
There is that.
Yeah. It's like, how did you guys hear that? Oh, God, they're surrounding me. And the little one's climbing me.
Okay. I do love when the little kittens start scaling you like a mountain to get to food.
Yeah, it's cute until they get huge.
All right. With that, I'm going to call it for the week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will catch you next week. Stay tuned here. And we have stream team stuff going all the time at twitch.tv/RPGamer. So stay tuned, hang out, and have fun playing RPGs. See you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.